loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to another edition of Pick and Pod, where we get to talk about this week's sports with the New York teams and what's happening around the NBA. I'm your A-host today, Andrew Ducret, followed by two lovely co-hosts who happen to be part of the same mock group that we all kind of, you know, came apart in the station with. I got Luis Andrade and I got Brian Zout with me. Before we get into anything basketball-wise, I just want to know how you guys doing during this break. I know classes start next week, if you know, kind of start feeling it right now. But, you know, I'll start with Luis. How you guys doing?
I'm feeling great. You know, just came back from visiting family. Just here to enjoy the last week at home. Looking forward to the new semester and, you know, recording all these pods with you guys. And overall, I'm really excited to be here today. You know, it's a little different instead of being in the studio with you guys and doing this over Zoom, but it's always fun to be here with you.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. You know, same thing as Luis. Enjoyed time with family. Now almost back to go back to classes. But, you know, these past breaks, you know, enjoy a lot of NBA games that are happening. And there was actually, starting 2025, we had so many great games that has happened so far. So I'm really glad about the NBA products so far, what they've given us.
I'm great that you say that because 2025 has definitely given us some games to look forward to. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the podcast. But, of course, we are New York-based. Let's start with New York. I'm going to start with the New York Knicks since they're kind of more successful right now. 25-13, you know, we all talked about the Knicks previous to this week about their 9-game winning streak. Everything looked right. Then they go to face OKC, lose that game, but of course OKC was riding their own winning streak at the time as well. And then from there on, they kind of sit into a 3-game losing streak before beating Toronto the other day, 112-98. A quick recap of that game. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns and OG led the team 27 points each, Hart with 21. Brunson did not have that good of a game. You can kind of see in the shooting percentages as well with the team, it was not that great. But Toronto is one of those teams, I guess, you should be able to win even on your worst shooting performances. You know, team shot 36% from three-point land as a whole. I just kind of want to get into it. Like, the Knicks were the topic of discussion week in and week out because they're riding a 9-game winning streak, as I said previously. Everything looked good. You know, Brunson is the clear MVP of the team. Karl-Anthony Towns is like he should be an all-star this year. And then the rest of the team and starters, they got together. Mikal Bridges had an amazing December with his averages and scoring. Of course, OG's going to do his thing. Josh Hart is, you know, he's a dog out there on the court. You know, he's giving you each and everything when it comes to stats. But during this, like, 3-game slide, I would say, yeah, it started off with going against OKC, and that's a tough matchup as is. But then losing to the Bulls, 139-126, kind of surprising. I know you're a Bulls fan, Lewis. Don't mean to say that. It's a hate.
Yeah.
But kind of surprising. And then the Magic, they're a good team, but again, they're lacking their stars as well without Pablo and Wagner on the team. So for them to lose to Magic, kind of suspect. But again, I think the main issue I see within these three games before the Toronto win, the three-point percentages are off. I think it's like everyone lost their touch. I mean, I'm going to the Magic game right now to look at an example. OG went 0-3, right? Brunson 0-1, Hart 1-3, Mikal 1-7, all right? Like, there's something wrong. They shot 18% from three-point land and only lost by 9 points. So you kind of see, like, that looks like the issue to me. Their defense is not the issue. You know, they continue putting teams on lock. But I kind of want to hear from you guys, like, if it is the three-point shooting that's the issue, or do you guys see something else with this Knicks team that is not being talked about much?
Yeah, Angel, I think you're right that the 3-point shooting has become a big problem for them. As you see, the 13% from three, that's abysmal. You can't be shooting like that when you're trying to win these. To be honest, these games should have been easy wins, especially against the Magic. And I hate to say, but my Bulls, they have not been great. They've been really bad. And this isn't, that's an easy win. That should be an easy win for the Knicks. And they're the worst, they're their own worst enemy by not having these low shooting percentages games. And when you have a low shooting percentage game one time, that momentum builds to the next game. And I think in this upcoming game against OKC, they need to break that need to break that bad habit and try to bounce back from that low shooting percentage. And even then, after that, OKC, they face the Bucks, Pistons,
It
Sixers, and
doesn't
the
get
Wolves,
easy.
and they have like all these chances to like break out of that bad habit and have a good winning streak before the end of the All-Star break or the start of it.
Lewis, I agree with you. And I also want to talk about earlier. They've also not lost their edge on defense wise, but you gotta say these past games have kind of been a high scoring games, like especially against the Bulls and against the Thunder, another high scoring game, which they let 117 and then they led 139 to the Bulls. That's very bad considering the Bulls, they're not that good. Like, you know what I mean, like they scored 139 points on what's so called the best, one of the best defense, or you could say the best defense in the league.
I'm not saying
And
the
then,
best defense.
yeah, but then also you let Cole Anthony give you 24 points, where this man has barely given you more than 15 points in the past 10 games. I'm just saying. They let Cole Anthony give you 24 points.
There's clearly a defensive issue as well to 3-point shooting. And when I look at just all the box scores between the three games they lost, and you look at the starters' minutes, Mikal 42, OG 35, Brunson 36, Hart 42, and that's kind of like a consistent pattern within those three games that they lost. And even in the win against Toronto, you can kind of see the Knicks starters are still playing a lot. 36 to Bridges, 38 OG, 34 Towns, Brunson 35, Hart 38, right? The bench doesn't get much playing time. They re don't really have a bench to begin with. So could this just be fatigue at this part of the season? I know season started back in October. We're now in January, close to the midway part of, the NBA season. Do you think they just need a break? You think they're just tired and it's just showing now?
No, lose the first.
Thank you. I hate to agree with you, but that is the truth. And same thing happened last year where the Knicks started to fall apart towards the end of the season and to the start of the All-Star break. It just, the FIBSM system with the high minutes for the starters and barely playing the bench, it wears them out, obviously. And also one thing I'm really concerned about is it leads to injuries as well, that wear and tear. And I think all those Knicks players are really looking forward to that All-Star break to get that time off. And I know Thibs is not going to switch up his scheme, his game plan. He's always going to be playing his starters more. But they need to, even though Cameron Payne's not the best player, Miles McBride, they need to give him more time. Players like that, even though they're not the best bench, they need to get the minutes to give their starters the rest that they need.
Lewis, I agree with you, and also the stats shows it too, because Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, and OG Anunoby right now have the top three spots for in terms of minutes. That's three players in the top 50, and they're in the top 10. And Jalen Brunson is seventh, and Karl-Anthony Towns 12th. Think about it. Just these starters alone, they're in the top 20 in terms of minutes, and three of them in the top five. They're getting, and compared to the rest of the league, they're getting the top five in total have like 610 minutes a season. They're nearly 200 more than any other people in the league. That's just crazy stats just to like think about.
Well, we know when it comes to a Tib run offense, there's going to be a lot of minutes played between the starters. And especially when I don't want to say you can trust the bench, but you don't really have pieces that are known scorers on your bench, right? You talk about the Cameron Paynes and the Miles McBrides of the world. Those two are pretty solid options off the bench, right? They still found Mitchell Robinson, and you don't know how he will be utilized once he comes back. Hopefully, at some point this month, actually, he should be going back to. Should be cleared for practice. So that could be a huge upgrade, of course. And Miles McBride has been injured lately with a hamstring. He wasn't playing in Wednesday's game against the Raptors. So that's just another bench piece that the Knicks are missing. And it's only two guys that I'm naming of, a roster that's supposed to have 15. But for a Knick team that you look at the roster, you look at the stats, It's completely carried by the starting lineup, of course. Past the starting lineup, your next high score is McBride with 9.8 points per game. All right. And your two workhorses both have 25. And yeah, you talk about the minutes. They have to play the minutes. You know, Precious is just coming back from injury. Shaman is just coming back from injury. So they have to kind of get back into the groove of things. But then when you look at just who are the possible bench pieces, their benches, Cameron Payne, Precious, Shamit, you have Jericho Sims and Nick McBride, right? Those five players, could you trust those five players to be playing? Not, I'm not saying majority of the game, but even give you at least 15 plus minutes each just to give your stars more rest. You know, like if you look at the plus minuses when certain stars are off the court and on the court with the Knicks, you can really tell that the Knicks truly depend on this starting unit just to win games. And it showed during that 9-game winning streak prior to the 3-game losing streak. And hopefully with this win against Toronto, you can kind of get some kind of momentum. But as you said, Lewis, earlier, it's not going to get easier after this. You know, OKC is tomorrow in Oklahoma, I believe. Milwaukee, Sunday, both road games. Detroit as well. No, I'm sorry. These are all home games, actually. Am I mistaken? So at least they get to be home. But still, Oklahoma's not easy. Milwaukee's not easy. Detroit has been playing good basketball this year, right? And now we go to Philadelphia. I mean, they have their number a little bit, but Minnesota. So, like these next Atlanta, these next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games could honestly go bad for the Knicks. So, you can easily see them win less than 500% of their games. I don't know if you guys want to, you know, take a look at that, like what your predictions are during that stretch, but it's some tough basketball as we get to the end of this month.
So, I was gonna say that going back to the playoffs of last season, how like you know the Knicks were down barely to like three starters last, and just because of Tom's like, you know system like overplaying the players, and we saw at one point we saw like three or two of the starters playing, and then the Pacers took full advantage of that, and they won that series, and I feel like Tom has to think of that into the future because you do not want the same thing happen again for this upcoming season.
Angel, onto your point about the next line of games coming up, I think they have a decent shot. Bucks, I'm not sure. It depends really on the OKC game. If they win that, they can carry that massive momentum, being the first seed in the West, and take it all the way to throughout the rest of the All-Star, all the way to the All-Star break for all I can see. But besides that, the Bucks, that's gonna be a rough game. I feel like they could easily beat the Pistons, Sixers, Wolves. I don't know about the Hawks. They did have their number for a bit. But then you got games like the Nets and the Kings that are struggling a lot. And I think if things go their way, they could have this could turn into a good winning streak for them. But it really depends again on this Thunder game, which is really massive for them in momentum on that team.
I won't lie, but I'm sorry. I'll let you speak, Brian.
No, I was gonna say the Hawks are one of the most confusing team in the NBA. They would suck for like four games and then they'll just turn up against some strong team. We've seen it against the Cavs, which they beat them twice, and then against Boston, they also beat them. So you never know with the Hawks. It'd always be a tricky game with them.
Yeah, and that's just one of the games in this kind of tougher schedule that they're gonna have in January. And the more I kind of look at it right now, since the beginning of December, they were playing subpar teams, and that's kind of where all the winning occurred when they had the 4-game winning streak, when they had the 9-game winning streak. They were all against teams that you most likely won't see in the playoff picture, not even the play-in picture, right? And then these stretch of 3 games that they lost, the only two kind of teams you can see in the playoff picture is Orlando and OKC. You know, Chicago should have gone that game. Toronto, at least they got that game. But now January is going to look a lot tougher for the Knicks than December was. December was kind of, it was a treat for them. That was like their Christmas gift. They got blessed with this schedule. And I think by the end of January, when we get into February and get even closer to All-Star break, we'll see truly who the Knicks look like. It was just this time last year where the Knicks were the best team in the league once they acquired OG and they had Randle. They had that starting five that, you know, nobody could play against because they were just clicking on all cylinders of the court. So can they kind of do the same thing this January, have a hot January against tough competition and roll into the All-Star break? We'll see. You know, the Knicks are still the third seed in the East. You know, during their win streak, they were fighting to even catch up with the Celtics at two. They're only like 2.5 games back from two seed, and the Cavs have been crazy. So they're 8 games back from the Cavs. It's gonna be a little hard to catch up to the Cavs if they continue doing what they're doing. But we'll talk about them later in the podcast. And we're gonna go shift to another borough from Manhattan to Brooklyn, talk about the Nets real quick. I know, not an exciting topic because the Nets, another confusing team. You know, 13-24 is their record. They stand 12th in the Eastern Conference. I don't see them pushing or making it competitive for a play-in. They, when it comes to the roster, you look at the team and you think automatically who's gonna get traded by the trade deadline. You know, what teams are gonna be interested in the players that the Nets have, because the Nets have valuable guys. They just don't have that really all-star or star kind of player that can really help you and lead you to at least a play-in, right? But in my opinion, I think the Nets are really looking at the future and they want to continue building their roster with the picks that they now have acquired, especially from the Knicks and other teams throughout the years. So you've seen the Nets have not won back-to-back games since November. Not to, you know, put any more negativity on the Nets. I hope, you know, Kurt's not listening to this right now, but they've had, since they've had a 3-game winning streak, including Sacramento, Golden State, and Phoenix, which is crazy. The end of November, they've had one, two, three, four separate 3-game losing streaks since that 3-game winning streak. It's kind of like it's a pattern right now that I'm staring at. It's kind of cool to look at, but I would not be excited if I was a Nets fan. But let's just, you know, kind of look at the Detroit game real quick. They lost this game, kind of expected. Detroit has been playing better basketball lately, so it, not to a surprise, honestly. But 113-98, you can call that a blowout, kind of 15-point game. But let's, you know, you look at the box score and look at the players who, you know, contributed. And Noah Clowney for the Nets had 29 points that game. Who is he? I have no idea. But the Nets just have these sneaky players that can drop 20, 25 points on a random game. And that's how the Nets are a sneaky team that like steal wins from certain opponents that have aspirations of the playoffs. And you just, this roster is just, it's interesting. You know, their best two players did not play that game, and it showed in the product. And you know, they lost, but like to have somebody, Noah Clowney had 29 points. Like, I can't fathom who that is and think of that. And it's just
Kurt
fascinating
probably just
about the Nets. Of course, Kurt would probably know, but
no,
I want to get you out.
but no, but also gotta think about also like their best player Cam Johnson also. Like, you know when he was playing in a high caliber play, remember when they beat the Bucks? He had a 26-point game. So like you know they'll
He's
he's
a good player.
yeah.
Cam Johnson's one of their, you know, better
And
players.
there's I heard some like you know trade rumors around like you know jump around if the Brooklyn Nets really do want to like rebuild. He's like their best player. They can get a lot of picks for him if they, you know.
His name has been thrown out there in trades. You know,
The
OKC
Lakers.
has been really looking into adding him to their bench, and I would love the addition of Cam Johnson. I mean, that's a sharpshooter as a scorer. You know,
He's
I think,
out. Oh, I'm sorry.
yeah, I mean, I think he fits any playoff team's agenda, honestly, especially that kind of scoring off the bench. You know, I know the Nets just acquired D'Angelo Russell, but you know, I would say Russell is just playing in Brooklyn right now just to beef up his trade value, get some stats in there. He's probably a prime candidate for a buyout towards the end of the season for any playoff team that needs his scoring off the bench, or maybe he does get traded at a trade deadline. So I would say if I had to predict something, he's not going to be a Brooklyn Net at the end of the season, not even in the middle of February, I would say. But is there really much to say about the Brooklyn Nets? You know, they're a gritty team. They fight like they're not playing to lose. You know, they're playing to give them their hearts out. It's just they don't have enough talent to win enough games to make the play-in. So if you guys were the GM and the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, like, what are you trying to get out of this season and then moving forward?
I was there at the Pistons game last night against the Nets, and it was just, if I'm the GM looking at this from where I was sitting, I don't know half the players who are playing. Like, even then, like, these are all like, gee, like guys that are scrapping just to make a roster, just to like play the game. Right. I'm looking at the starting lineup as they're all coming out of the tunnel. I'm like, who's that? Only person I recognized was Nick Claxton. And look at, you can look at the injuries: Cam Thomas, Ben Simmons, D'Lo, Bojan, Cam Johnson, all injured. And I feel like that's also a thing to do with the record. But you know, even then, they weren't that competitive to begin with. But that's not the point, you know. They got to look to trade those big players. Cam Thomas, you know, he has a great upside. He's been playing great for the Nets. Ben Simmons, he's Ben Simmons. D'Lo, again, you mentioned him earlier. They would probably trade him. Cam Johnson, a big player. I heard a lot of rumors about him going to the Lakers for a backup center there, which I think would be good for the Lakers, but that's besides the point. The Nets are just a completely lost team, and I think what they've been doing with trading Mikal Bridges, trading Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, they've been setting themselves up for a great rebuild. They have, I feel like they have, I'm not sure if this is true, but they have like the second most picks right behind OKC, and they're setting themselves up for a great future. And as the GM, I would be very happy at the way things are going for the future. As of now, not a great team, but let's see what the future holds. They could probably, right now they're in the race for Cooper Flagg with this tanking season, and I think if it keeps going the way the future is holding, they're set for a great future. Yeah.
I agree with you, Lewis, that they should honestly just tank, but like still fight for fight. You know, these players, most of them are just fighting for like a contract because a lot of these are G League players. Well, I don't even know some of these players, to be honest. But like, you know, if some of these players can even get some value and become a like somewhat of a good player, and they can use that to trade to get any picks, because just remember Brooklyn that a couple seasons ago traded so many picks away. I know they got some back from the Rockets, but like they still. They have so many picks that they still need back, and they need something to rebuild. They need to get more picks. They need to get start all over fresh and learn from their mistakes and not let what happened two times, not once, but two times happen again. And betting on how teams have like, you know, made their mistakes consistently, I wouldn't bet that Brooklyn Nets probably make the same mistake again.
I mean, to your point, you know, they lost a lot of picks in that Celtics Nets trade back in the days, you know, trying to get Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And you know how that went. That messed up their future for years to come. And now,
They help the Boston future also.
true.
Yeah.
But when you look at the future now with the Nets, they have, I believe, Zachary one. They have Milwaukee's pick. They have OKC Houston or Phoenix pick in 2025. They have the Knicks pick, their own pick, and Miami's pick. Oh, that's the second round pick. So one, two, three, four possible picks this year alone. And that can really be the setting stone for the future of Brooklyn. And just looking, you know, more into the future, they have a lot more picks to go with in the first round. So from a team that looked lost and clueless with their future years ago, now has some promise when it comes to their future. And if I'm the Nets, I am looking at the production that these players are giving me night in and night out and see whose trade value is at the highest right now. Try to get something for them if it's obviously just a player expiring contract, but then you also get a pick attached to it. You know, you still want to just continue acquiring this pick, these picks, because you never know what the talent has in the 2025 draft. You know, Cooper Flagg is one of the high name profiles out there, but there's still other names that can really helped this Brooklyn Nets team. And who knows, maybe in the next 5 years, we can be talking about how Brooklyn has become from one of the worst teams in the East to now they're fighting in the mid pack, right? They're in the play-in, you know, maybe they're fighting to not be in the play-in, be like a 7 seed kind of team in the East. That's just happens when you build your team and work on the future. So me even just talking about that makes me think, like, you know, players like Cameron Johnson are young, Cam Thomas is young, you know, Claxton young. So like those are three core pieces that maybe don't even think about trading. You know, you want to keep them as part of the future when you get these other draftees from 2025 and beyond. And who knows, like if those kind of players are committed to like a 5 year like let's just acquire people and then we'll see like true production in a couple of years and not right now, the Nets can really be something. And I'm hoping they are for the sake of, this New York spasm when it comes to basketball. So going from,
Thank you.
New York teams, what
I
happened?
just want to say, speaking with like trade picks and everything, that the one that I have, it just, literally off topic a little bit, just came to me also, how the Suns literally have no future right now. It's like, in the NBA news right now with Bradley Beal's no trade clause.
Yeah.
You say those that team has like no future right now. Literally have zero picks right now.
I mean, when it comes to Phoenix, who knows what's gonna happen with that team, right? They're supposed to be
Of
the good
course.
team and whatever. But let's kind of go around the NBA real quick. There was a lot of good games this week, and it started off Sunday with Boston OKC, and that was a classic. I won't lie. Could it be a possible, finals preview? It just might be. OKC won, and who led the charge was, of course, the MVP candidate, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, with 33 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. Efficient shooting, of course, from the man who they say is unguardable in the NBA. But I think one thing that was very impressive from that game alone was the way that Jaylen Brown was locked up in the second half once they put Lu Dort on him, how Tatum had an efficient night shooting. Of course, he still had 26 points, but it was efficient. Porzingis was not efficient as well with his 19 points. The Celtics really struggled on true defensive competition, and OKC used that to their advantage and beat them, the defending champs. Do you guys think this could be a possible finals preview of just how this game went apart Sunday?
I think this is a very realistic finals preview. But I don't think it's going to go down the same way it did to Lab the other night. OKC, they are a very talented young team. But the thing is, they are young. They've only had one deep playoff run as the first seed last postseason, and it didn't go well for them. Their inexperience showed, their youth showed. Even though they picked up, some veterans like Caruso and Hartenstein, I still think they're not that true experienced team. I feel like they need one more decent playoff run to truly be a finals contender, like make it all the way and win it all. They obviously are, I'm not saying that, but the inexperience does show when it comes to the playoffs. And the Celtics have all that. They've been to the playoffs.
I don't want to say an experience anymore, man. I mean, being OKC,
They're a
they
little biased, I'm not gonna lie.
I'm not trying to be biased, but like they had, yes, it was not successful last year, but they did get the playoff experience. And yes, Celtics, they have a lot more players were battling in the Eastern Conference Finals for many years. And this team obviously went all the way last year. So they have the most experience between these two teams. But OKC, they kind of saw what it was like getting the first seed last year with a young team who no one expected. They saw what it's like to play in the playoffs. I think that can really help them. And then obviously the additions that they've added to this team has just been, it's why this team is number one in the West.
I agreed, but the thing was, they were the number one in West last year, and they did lose to a Luka Doncic team that was being carried by Luka and Kyrie, and a couple, PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. But to be honest, they weren't really that. They had all the momentum for them. They've swept the Pelicans, and again, you never. I'm kind of seeing history repeat itself again with this OKC team back in the days with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
I
And
remember.
how they had such a great future, and it just turned out so hard. I don't think that. I hope that doesn't happen because I'm really excited for this team. SGA, Chet Holmgren, all these guys, Williams. I'm really excited for this team, but I just don't see. They've only had one good run, and I think you need a little more than that, and a little more, more experience to truly make it to the, make it to the finals and have a good shot to be an experienced team like the Celtics, or they fought and grinded for like since 2017, 2018. They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals and Finals, and they showed that like sometimes when the lights are the brightest, it doesn't come to run down. It doesn't come down to talent and a good team. It comes down to the experience and the grit.
I actually think OKC can do much better this upcoming postseason just because they experienced the tough loss. Just think about it. Just last year, they were all young. They were the youngest squad in the league last year. I'm not sure about this season. I think those still probably are. But I still think OKC just like, getting that playoff experience, getting that loss and the way they lost to the Dallas in game six, I feel like they can learn from that, they can improve, and they'll be much better this upcoming postseason.
I like how OKC has been playing this year. You know, they've been the top team in the West. Obviously, when it comes to playing any Celtic team, you're always going to have the comparisons because they are the defending champions. So it was always going to be good matchups. Kind of want to go more into this week. You know, there was again a lot of good games. I'm actually going to skip forward not to talk about a lot of OKC, but I think this was the game of the week. Given of where both teams stand, OKC versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland, you know, they both are riding winning streaks. They just snapped Thunder's winning streak. Thunder is 30-6. The Cavaliers are 32-4. Clearly, both best teams in the NBA. Now, we talked about the Celtics and OKC game being a potential finals preview. I don't know if I want to say that this could be a potential finals preview because the comments that you guys had on OKC, I see the same thing with the Cavs. The Cavs, to me, have been a regular season merchant. You know, they really haven't shown me anything playoff wise. They've always been that kind of good team in the regular season, who's always like a top 3 to 5 team. And the roster's the same, but I would say the roster has improved in terms of the players have just taken a step up. It's Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, you know, Garland and Mitchell are meshing better together now. So this team could be serious. Who knows? You know, it was heartbreaking to see OKC lose their winning streak being a fan, because a lot of players had good games. But I think this was a true test on like who can possibly take over this regular season and take it into the playoffs. So just kind of real quick, like what are your takes from this game alone?
I agree that I don't feel like the Cavs have really proven much to me. You know, they've had, you know, they're I think I'm not sure if this is true, but they've been on pace to be a 72-6 team. I'm not sure if that was true, but
Yeah, all these teams are like on pace to win 70 games. All that I don't think will happen. I get it. Everyone's fighting the hot hand right now, but right now I'm just looking at both teams like, all right, they're the hottest, they're the best teams in both conferences, and it was a fight.
it was a great fight, but again, they haven't proved me anything, the Cavs. The OKC has proved me something, but unfortunately, they did lose the game. And one thing that I feel like they came down to is they locked up Donovan Mitchell. He shot 18% from the field. And the other players, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Max Strus, they all stepped up and took up a spot in the scoring ability. And I feel like that's what made the Cavs come over the edge there in that game, where, you know, their star, Donovan Mitchell, falls apart and they had the players come there. That's what a team is. When one falls down, you pick him up and help him out.
I think this
Sorry, go ahead.
Cleveland team is could either be very similar to the Hawks team. You know, what was that year? Like, they got swept against the Cavs that year. It was like I forget the year, but you know, the year where they had like a 60-win record. They were like the first seed, the Hawks, and then in the playoffs in the final, it was the Eastern Conference Finals. They just like you know got destroyed, or the Cavs could prove us all wrong and show us that they're the real deal. This Cavs team is the same as last season. The only difference is they did get a new coach, and this new coach is making it work.
Kenny
And
Atkinson, I think, has been a true reason to the Cavs' success. I'm actually glad that you bring that up because, again, same roster, same players, except different coaching, different play styles, and it really shows. Like Atkinson has a good track record of being a good coach that can lead a good team into the playoffs, and I want to say that's one of the reasons the Cavs are doing good.
also, the Cavs do have a really nice depth. They really do. They got
Yes.
Max Strus, LeVert. LeVert came out the bench, and LeVert can go off anytime too. Just I'm saying, this is like his OKC.
Yeah, when it comes to the Cavs, depth is there. They are on par with Boston when it comes to that roster wise. So it's going to be a fight going into the Eastern Conference for the 1 and 2 seed. But that's going to do it for us on this episode of Pick and Pod. You know, there's a lot of basketball to talk about between New York teams and, of course, around the NBA. We had some star-studded matchups, and there's going to be more to come. From Lewis and Brian, I'm Andrew Decret. Pick and Pod is a production of Fordham University.